Good evening. We are coming to you from the Egyptian Church of Karast, Christ Incorporated. This program is for one group of people and one group only, the children of God. We no longer have to wonder or wander off the straight path. For those who want to make a difference, for those that want to know the truth to so many unanswered questions, and for those who are tired of the devil taking control over everything in their lives and the lives of their children. This program is set up for those who want to be in God's kingdom here on earth. According to the scriptures, Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Therefore, we must take back control of our lives. We, the Egyptian Church of Karast, Christ Incorporated, are reaching out to embrace all the children of God, as it states in Psalms chapter 82, verse 6, "I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High." Next, you will be listening to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Malachi Z. Yort-El, in question and answer form.
It says that the Lord God breathed into his nostrils
the breath of life.
And man became a living soul. Mm-hmm. So in this verse, it's only talking about man.
So the fact that the word they use is Adam.
Right.
When you're reading your Bible in English, in the King James Version, they knowingly and willingly left out the word Adam. If you was reading that book in Hebrew, read that and put Adam in there and take man out, because that's what's in there in the Hebrew. Go ahead, read it now.
The Lord God formed Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul.
That's what's in there in Hebrew. You know what people should be trying to find out now in church? Why did they take that out? Why did they say man when there's a Hebrew word throughout the Bible they use for man, which is ish, when they want to use it? Why did they hide that? Wow. Because they can't explain. They don't want to tell men, or especially in Christianity or the monotheistic religion, Judaism and Christianity, they're linked to God. Because it would eliminate the ministers, would eliminate the fathers and the popes and the imams and all the scholars, because every individual would know they have a link directly to God as a son of God, a part of God, and in fact a God. Whether they say capital G or small g, however escape they use, the anthropomorphism in the Bible is really revealing that God has arms, legs, eyes, cries, talks, walks, feels, like every other mortal being you come in contact with. You follow? And there's a similarity between Adam and God. And that similarity is right there when they're saying that God, which is called the boundless universe, Elohim, right, or Yahweh Elohim, put into this thing he created from the dust of the ground. But people forget that when the dust of the ground is being shaped, there's also life in it. Because it's earth. And anywhere you find earth, you're going to find living things. That's just talking about the shell of man. But then they put a divine spark, a Nefesh Chayim, inside him. So inside man, God dwells. You know what I'm trying to say? The Spirit of God is moving inside you. If you go to 1 John chapter 4:13, right, you're going to see that. Got it, ready? It says in 1 John, chapter 4, verse 13. Anybody got it? Read it.
"Hereby know ye that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit."
You see that? Now read back to 12 and see what you get. "No man has seen
God at any time.
Uh-huh.
If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us."
But it deals with man, no man. And then when you go down to 13 again, it says, "Hereby what? Know ye that we
dwell in him."
Uh-huh. And
he in us.
How is it that we dwell in God and God in us? Because if in fact we have a portion of God in us, then we are still linked to God spiritually. We are still linked to God directly. You follow? This is what this is saying. And this is backing up exactly what you're reading when you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. You follow what I'm saying? Now, did I get that point? First of all, understanding Christianity as we see it today, where ministers don't know the scriptures because they don't know the language. They're not even aware that the word Adam is there. They can get a Logos Bible, an online Bible, or a Strong's Concordance, and go or walk up to anybody who speaks Hebrew and open their Bible and ask them what word is there and find out that Adam is there. Because when you read with Adam, it makes a big difference because it implies that there was something personal between Adam and God. But if you read it as man, then they can say man is a general statement for man as a whole, as in mankind. And that's what you've been led to believe. But if you see Adam sitting there, then it changes because you don't see Eve
right.
as a part of the story yet. And of course, a woman wants to know, well, where was I at the time?
Right.
And why was no concern for me?
Right.
There's no concern for anything that don't exist yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't even got down to her existence yet. We're pre her existence. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with a man. You follow that? And that God knew this Adam so well, he even knew Adam needed a mate. How did he know that? Because he knew himself. He knew he was in need. He knew the nature of man. You follow that? Go ahead.
In this verse, like you said, it's only speaking about man.
Right.
But it says the breath of life had to be breathed into man for him to exist.
Before he became a living soul.
A living soul.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And women also have the breath of life in them.
Right.
So they are living souls.
No, they have the breath of life in them. They are living spirits.
Why don't we have a living soul?
Because he didn't give you his soul. Because you are merely bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, according to the Bible. That's what it says in the Bible. Now, if you want to step into metaphysics, you want to go into anything, if you want to stay in the Word of God, you're going to hear that woman is merely. He said he took a man, put man in a deep sleep, and out of man took his rib, as they would say, and there he took and made a woman. And then he called her woman because she was of man. She was not of God, she was of man. What's that quote?
21.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Somebody read it. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam.
And he slept.
Go ahead.
And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof.
Okay, go ahead. And Adam said, now we gotta go to chapter 2, verse 22.
And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman.
Why?
Because she was taken out of man.
Taken out of man. Not taken out of God. Woman was not taken from God. Woman was created in the image and the likeness of man. Now if you go into all the new science of mitochondrial DNA, which you can, you step outside of the Bible. You step into the scientific community and there's a difference. Yeah, man, and you can make some strong arguments that women do physically predate men. Scientifically. But when you start dealing with science, you step out of religion. You know what I'm saying? Now, some men will say no, some preachers say no, but they're lying to you. When you start dealing with science, it's going to beat the heck out of this Bible that you say you believe in. And they ain't going to be able to defend themselves against scientific data. But if you say you follow the Word of God, and that there's a hidden meaning behind everything that's in here, then you're stuck to accept that reality that woman is in the image of man, and man is in the image of God. And God breathed his breath of life into a man. And that man became a living soul. And then from that man, he made to only, because they specified in Genesis, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. They were specific. They didn't have to say that. They were saying she is physical. Go ahead.
So does that make woman less of a creature in comparison to man in religion?
Yes, it does in a sense. It does in a sense because it appears that even the serpent in Genesis knew to go to the woman because she was weaker. He didn't even go to Adam. He knew that the woman can be tempted by things pleasant to the eye, good for food, and desires to make one wise because she didn't get the commandment. Adam did. And she wasn't there. The serpent knew she didn't get the commandment, so the serpent knew to go right after her. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that
Is that why woman was supposed to submit to man? Or?
Well, she was never created to submit. She was created to help. The Bible says woman was created as a helpmate to man. And the Lord God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it is not good that man should be alone. Again, here we have the word man. You look in the Hebrew, you see the word Adam. Read it again with Adam in it. And what?
And the Lord God said, it is not good that the Adam should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him.
See that? I'm going to make him an assistant. Someone to help him. That's her place. Nowadays, or the serpent's people, have women thinking they're supposed to be in front of men. And you want to know why we're falling apart. And why the world is falling apart. And why our societies are falling apart. And why our families are falling apart. And why there's so many lonely women. Because women, by the devil's power, is now stepping out of her place. And the devil is giving it a platform. You can make as much money as your man. You ain't got to be subject to man. You don't have to walk behind a man. You don't have to. But he got all these things that he has our women doing. And now they're walking around in positions all up in the government with opinions where they do not belong. They are now they ain't got themselves in the war, and they're out there in uniform, women getting ready to go to the battlefield. Women as policemen. Women as firemen. And I watched a video once where a woman police officer just got the heck beat out on the highway by some man because she got that uniform on, and that uniform fooled her for a moment into forgetting that she was a woman, and she dragged this man out of the car in front of his kid, and he just beat the doggone officer down like if that was a male officer, it would have been a hell of a lot more difficult, it would have been a heck of a lot more difficult if that was a male officer. But they're pushing you into this. They're moving you up in there because they're taking you out of your role. Because they take you out of your role, they automatically pull us out of our role as servants of God. We come right on out of our role trying to compete with you as you try to compete with us in this world. That's a strategy.
Reverend, according to the Bible...
Where?
According to religion.
Okay.
Actually, what are the benefits of having a soul?
What are the benefits of having a soul versus a spirit?
Yes.
Your direct contact with God. Why most of the prophets were men? Because God still had a link to men. You follow that?
Yes.
Yes, you want to say something?
I'm confused now on the existence of a soul. Because women bring babies into the world.
Right.
So how does the soul differentiate between a man and a woman?
Because the soul will be traveling on the semen of the male. Because when a man is getting ready to ejaculate, the semen goes through his body and up to his brain, back down the spinal column, past the seminal vessel, through the prostate glands, and on out. But it goes, why does it go up to the brain? Why can't it stay in the scrotum, produce everything down there, and just go out? Why must it make that journey up the spinal column and touch the brain? Because up there, where it gets to the top of the brain, that's where it makes contact with that divine spark. Not that a woman don't have a spark of life, but there's a spark of life and a divine spark of life in the Bible. One has 2 yards in it. It has hayim, 2 yards. One just has hay. Both of them are there for living, but one is hayim, and it implies a divine being. You follow that? Go ahead.
So women don't have that direct connection with God.
She can obtain it. She can't obtain it because the Bible says that that man is supposed to cling on to her and they become one. When they become one flesh, then they're sharing body and soul. You know what I'm saying? That's what real love, that's what I just said a little while ago in 1 John. It was all about love. You know what I'm saying? And with that strong will of love, when you start to share that love, when you break away from love, you start no longer love a man, and no longer you start losing. You become an animal. You become a being that must survive. Not an animal in an ugly sense. You become an animal like I must survive. And when you start having to survive, your femininity starts going out the window, because you got to get out and you got to change your own tire. Whether it's raining or not, you might have to get on your knees out there. No longer you can break your fingernails. And I can just continue on to many things that happen when that man is not in your life. When there's noise banging downstairs, you got to get up and go downstairs and get the baseball bat yourself. And you don't have the will to go up against you know, or the strength in most cases to go up against a big old brawly man that's coming in to rob or rape you. Whereas a man would get up and go down and deal with that. Not that every man can succeed. I'm not making a man Superman. I'm just saying those are certain roles that seem to be natural, because if you check the animal kingdom, you find out that's how it works. We go out and hunt and we bring it back to you. Someone, he gave us a certain amount of brawling, you know, a certain amount of physical stamina, you know, in one respect, because we can't have no babies. We ain't lying about that. Y'all's ability to take that kind of pain is totally different than ours. But we can roll and tumble and fall and not scar as well, where our skin is tougher. You know what I'm saying?
If we look at it from a scientific point of view, like you were saying earlier,
mm-hmm.
and women, it's known that women were here first, then how did the soul become into existence if women were
okay,
here first?
Because you're talking about a body. You're back to talking about a body. Women, when you speak of mitochondria, DNA, you're talking about genes. You're talking about physical things. Right? Before the physical thing, there had to be a spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Man was in a spiritual world before he was in a physical state, because he was created in the image and after likeness of God first. Then later on in the Bible it says he created him out of dust of the ground. But the first creation of man in the Bible, he's in a spiritual state. Then you got to go further down to find out, and of the dust of the ground made he man. Then it says male and female created he them. So then he created Adam, and you know, a spirit Adam, and then made a physical Adam, and then out of that Adam made woman. That's why it says male and female created he them later. Right? It says, so God created man in his own image. Now let's find out what the image of God is by going to Colossians 1:14. 1 Colossians 1:14.
Who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?
See that?
Mm-hmm.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
The firstborn of every creature. What did it say before that? Who is in the what? Who is in the
image
of the
invisible God?
Now, let's look back again at Genesis chapter 1. First, you stay right there, sister. And let's go back to verse 27, chapter 1. You stay right where you are, because we're going to need that again. What does it say?
It says, so God created man in his own image.
In the
image of God created he him.
So now, what is God's image? Now, you read it again.
Okay. Who is the image of the invisible
God? Is it a visible being or an invisible being?
Invisible.
If God is an invisible being, then this statement that Adam in 27 is created in the image of God, right? Then the first creation of Adam was in a spiritual state in the bosom of God. And then later we go down, we're going to read, bone of God took man of dusty ground. We have to go to That was Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And look at verse 7. Ready?
Yeah.
And somebody read it.
And the Lord God
formed. So what? You know what so what is in Hebrew? To shape something. Form it.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was created. Bella. Mm-hmm. Now it's so what? It's shaping. You hear me? Read that. So what?
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground.
And then what did he do? Into him,
into his nostrils,
the breath of life,
and
man became a living
soul.
So that thing which was created in God's bosom for man was transported from God into man. That was soul. You follow that? And that left a link between God and man. A direct link. They were spiritually connected at all times. Thus, when God wants to choose a messenger, in most instances, he chooses a man to carry the message. Sometimes they choose a woman to carry a message to a group of people other than the Israelites, like in the case of Esther.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But that wasn't a divine revelation. And in the book of Esther, you don't find the word God anywhere in the whole chapter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's a different kind of message. Anybody else?
They have prophetess. Do they have
Go ahead.
Do they have a direct connection with God at that time? When
no. No, they are always students of high priests. And in Israel, the high priests, called the Levites, became the mediums between mortals and God. And even when they built the Temple of Solomon, They built it in 3 degrees. And only people that could go into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and talk to God one-on-one were priest men. Women were not allowed, Deborah or Ruth or anybody else, to go inside the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. You never hear about women going there. They wasn't allowed. Because they knew that if a woman would go in there, she'd be struck dead immediately. And even men had to wear the right garbs and costumes to go in the power, the presence of God. Yes.
So as a Christian woman without a husband, I could be praying to nothing. So God can't hear me when I'm praying?
That's not the point. As a Christian woman, you should have a husband. Because the Bible tells you you should. That you should be fruitful and you should multiply. It's this system and this society, and I want to work with this, right? It's this system and the society we're living in that makes you without a husband. Because they create laws that override God's laws. And they become the laws of the land and the laws of man. And then man start acting according to the laws of the land and the laws of man, and they stop acting in according to the law of God. If men were about living by this book, and not by no constitution or no amendments or by no law system, they were living by the Bible, then men, you would not be without a man. You know what I'm trying to say? It's the system that's set up to divide families, to break us down, to change men into, change women into men, and change men into women even. This is all part of a system. They want me and you to obey them over the word of God. And that's why they'll come after a man who has more than one wife. When they won't ever scorn or shame Abraham or Solomon or Rehoboam or Jacob or Esau and a whole host of other men in the Bible who were God's chosen people, they'll never badmouth them for being polygamous. But they'll come out after you. They'll come out and say that you're doing this. They're forcing you. They're forcing your hand to disobey God. And they know we by nature, because of our roots being in Africa, Egypt, and the likes, were naturally polygamous. Before they interfered with our natural environment and culture, we were polygamous and you women accepted. You follow? They started the one wife, miserable, cheating man. They started. That's why they're so miserable. That's why they sit around with nothing to do but probe into people's lives and try to create gossip. But first, they had to create laws called man's laws and supersede God's laws and make every preacher and every woman feel if she and my man gonna get another wife, that's against the law. Call them bigamous. Against whose law? Against God's law in the Bible, or Allah's law in the Quran, I mean, or Yahweh's law in the Tanakh? Whose law? Or is it some man sat around and made that law? You follow? And they know in doing that, that me or any other man who has that blood can't be content. Because that's the animal we are. We were used to having more than one woman, be we Muslims or Yoruba, or whatever faith. It's only when they introduced us to Paul's version of Judaism. Not even Jesus' version of Judaism. But Paul's new version of Judaism is where they started creating their laws. And Paul's the same one who told them that they don't have to get circumcised and they don't have to keep the Sabbath. He was tearing down the law. And he also added that law. One man, one woman. Now some people say, well, Adam only had one wife. That's what you think. Right? If you do a little search, research, you find out that Adam had another wife called Lilith. Because his name wasn't Adam. Adam was describing what he was. His name was Kedmah. The Bible also refers to him as Zakar, the one with the extended memory. You follow what I'm saying? This is in the Bible, but it's not in English. It's in the Hebrew, but it's not in English. It's like Eve. Her name is Nekebo in the Bible. Meaning a tribal leader. Because there were groups of people. Adam wasn't one man. Eve was a tribe. That's why you hear in the Bible that a person lived a certain amount of years. They say 135 years, and then they say, and he went on all the days of his life was 900 years. The person died in 135, but his tribal name carried on. Mm-hmm. Your father had to have a Kennedy era of family members. Now they're coming down to the end of the Kennedy era because they're all dying off. That's a Kennedy era that goes on over 200 years. Let me trace it back maybe further. Go ahead.
I follow your point, right?
Go ahead.
But in Genesis 24...
Genesis chapter 24?
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2, verse 24. Okay, so what does it say?
It says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife.
And cleave unto his wife.
And they shall become one flesh.
That's right.
Can he cleave unto more than one wife and become one flesh?
Obviously, if Solomon had 700 wives. Obviously, if God blessed Jacob and Jacob had 4 wives. Obviously, if God chose Rehoboam and he had 18 wives. Obviously, if God accepted Esau's forgiveness and he had more than one. Obviously, because the Bible says this statement in Genesis, but this was before the scripture. This is when the choices were down to naught. Okay. It wasn't like there was a whole host of women for Adam to choose from according to this. We're at what they call the beginning. So as man progressed down, we get right down. We don't get halfway out this chapter before we get down to a man called Lamech. And he got 2 wives, Ada and Zilpah. And that's in the land of Nod already. And his people already in the land of Nod when he gets there, when Cain gets there. And Cain chose to pull a wife out of those people. You know what I'm trying to say? So you're not getting the full story when you read these Bibles and these translations. They pulled out little pieces. You got little pieces, and it takes intense study to see how much they've altered. And that was done purposely to make it something you can't depend on. But see, their laws have sections and chapters and verses and codes, so you can feel safe in the law of the devil or man over the law of God. You follow?
Yes.
And when they get a person with a religion that has codes and sections, you know what it produces? It produces fanaticisms like Muslims. Because they still got a Quran that they think is infallible. And it's everything according, nothing, they say nothing has been changed, it flows. And then they got a whole series of sections of books called hadiths and sunnahs and customs and traditions that tells them everything to do, so they can't shake them. They can't wither, so the women there stay in place. And then America and other countries like that have to look at those women and say, I would never look like that. I'd never put a veil on. I'd never stay in my place. I'd never do this. They don't realize because they don't have law. They didn't put aside the commandments of God for the traditions of men, for men's laws. That's also in the Bible.
Mark 7:8.
Somebody look at it. You'll find it. I mean, these things may sound shocking today. You know what I'm saying? Because we're so long, so far removed from our way of life that we've now just accepted what the devil feeds us. And now you women start to feel mad at me for telling you God's word. It almost insults your intelligence. I'm a woman with a mind of my own. I can think for myself. Nobody's saying you can't. But you do have a place as a mother, as a wife, as a sister, as a daughter. You do have a place. Just like a man has a place as a father, as a son, as a brother. You know what I'm saying? He has his place. But they removed y'all. They removed it. And make you, now you so cocky. You so self-righteous until you can't even find a good man. Why? Because you're breaking men down. You know what I'm saying? As soon as you see him, you're ready to tearing into what he is and trying to tear down his worth. You won't give him a chance to become a man, and you're forgetting he's been beat down by a system that won't let him be a man. Mm-hmm. Can't make his own decisions. I gotta work for them. If I don't work for them, I'm nonconformist. I'm a bum. Mm-hmm. I gotta go kill for them. If they say we want you to go over to another country and kill some people of a different nationality because they have a political difference, so I'm supposed to do it. I'm supposed to violate God's law in Exodus. Chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. I'm supposed to just go over there and drop bombs on people. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I'm supposed to go up there and just shoot up people and stab them up in the woods in Vietnam or Korea or whatever. I'm supposed to do that because a man called Sam told me. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's how you know it's a serious danger. If I say, excuse me, I don't kill. Oh, okay, we do have what they call religious objection. Yeah, until Muhammad Ali said it. Muhammad Ali said, well, I'm a Muslim and I don't kill. I believe the scripture. They put him in jail for it. You understand? So they put him in jail for obeying God's law against man. If your daughter and son said, excuse me, teacher, I don't care what you say, I'm standing up and I'm saying this, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, teacher. And sit down. They might send your kid home, suspend him, and put him out of school. But they want to teach us about wars. They want to teach us about General Lee. They want to teach us about Joan of Arc and Napoleon. People who killed people. People who went to other people's land, like Columbus, and just took it. And massacre people and put their flag down there and just say, this is now mine, like all those people here with their river dancing and crap who came over here in this country where Native Americans live, put their flag down, be it Irish, Polish, or whatever, and now they're making laws in this country and imprisoning the indigenous people, enslaving the indigenous people, making the Mexicans have to break into their own country. You understand? Now, and then step out of the Bible, it ain't got political. We got presidents that don't belong here. They should chase their roots and say, where you from? Ireland. You supposed to be a president in Ireland. You ain't supposed to be no president in America. A Native American is supposed to be a president in America. You see what I'm saying? And they've got this way of making evil look right. And they'll come down on anybody that shakes their system. Anybody who starts to make it clear, how can you tell children they cannot pray to God in school and then open a textbook and teach them about wars and teach them they came from a monkey and don't gather and don't give it an opportunity to have an opposing, you know what I'm saying, argument. Just now we're going to drop the God theory and keep the monkey. We're going to drop the peace theory and we're going to keep the war. And you're going to have one wife. And if you have more than one wife, I'm putting you in jail. And you're going to send your kids to school and get educated by me and all these lies. Well, I'm going to put you under truancy and take your kids. And you better bring yourself to the hospital when you get pregnant so we can inject you with the chemicals we feel are suited for you and your baby. Otherwise, we're going to take your baby when you're born. You understand? We're going to make it so you don't have no job, so you need Medicaid. So when you come to us, we own you and we own your body and we own your child. We put a new organization called DFACTS. You just come out and take the kid. That's what they want to do. They want to do that because they got new kind of experiments. They found out they can't use rats no more. They found out they can't use hamsters no more. They can't use monkeys no more. Now they find out in order for them to cure these diseases, they got to use people. And the only way they're going to get a chance to take control of people's lives and not violate their own Bible called the Constitution, which is freedom, is that they just put a system where you come ask me for some money, so I own your body, and I own your womb, and I own your children. And they're going to lure all these women out there to go out there and they say, man, you can go make some money with some child support. What profit a man, that means woman, to gain the whole world and lose. And so they're going to give your way, you're going to give yourself over to the devil. And into his ways. Because every time you go out to him and you sign anything, you sign yourself into his system. You made a deal with him. You walked out the door. Open to you. They make it look like it's okay. You know why? Because you're doing bad. You ain't got no money. You know what that's called? Your consciousness dropped. You're depressed. You're lonely. He done left you with the kids. He's out there having a good time. And you're miserable. You follow? So now you're going to go to the devil. So the devil could track him down and give you some money. But from then on, the devil controls your life. Because the devil monitors how much money he gives you. The devil decides how much money he gives you. And the devil takes a larger percentage from it than they give you. If it's $500, the devil takes three and gives you two. They say, Well, we're managing it for you. We got to track him down in case he becomes, what do they call him? When a man, when they can't track him down, no, they have a name. What do they call him? Something daddy. A deadbeat daddy. If he's deadbeat, we'll go track him down for you. We'll humiliate your black man for you. We'll humiliate your Latino man for you. We'll make him look like he's a scrub. We'll make him look bad just for you so you get $200 a month. But you better not make more money than you're making when we start this. That's what most women don't know. They didn't check that part of the law. That if you're working in Kmart and you're making minimum wages, every 3 years they can rekindle the case.
Right.
And if you're making any more money, the money that you that he has to pay you drops.
Right.
So this is a way of trapping both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Your father, you're thinking the man ain't gonna check. Any man who's paying you is gonna check every 3 years and see your life. You got a man living in there? I'm gonna make a report and tell him.
Right.
You're making more money, you ain't told on me. So what have now, what are we both doing? We're both running to the devil.
Right.
Fighting against each other. And that's why there's so many lonely women. And that's why there's so many lonely men. Women are afraid to take that step to meet a good man. The only way you're going to find a good man, when you find a man who's not thinking through their system. When you do that there, they say, oh, she better join the black Muslims or the Hebrew Israelites or the Nubians or somebody. That's the only way you're going to find men who are saying, hell, we're going to do it for self and kind. And then what do we become? Some kind of cult. Then they tell them, oh, they're suicidal. Oh, we was everything. We were the best. Because we were suicidal. No, we were the Nuwabi and the Wild were the best. We were suicidal while we were waiting for flying saucers. You understand? We were cowboys and Indians. I mean, we were earthlings. I mean, and extraterrestrials. I mean, we was all that. You know what I'm saying? I'm great. I'm suicidal and God and divine. I'm all that. And a slice of cheese. You understand? They tried to dump everything. The Wapians were so threatening to them, they dumped every type of scandalous thing they could think of on us. And it didn't work.
That's right.
You know why? Because we broke a spell. We understand the difference between God's law and man's law.
Right.
Be it the Bible, the Quran, the Enumailish, the Atrahasis, we don't care what book or scripture it is. One thing we figured out, that there's beings around here in flesh, human beings, devils, who are trying to make people disobey God's law. And they got it so well set up through television and media. They got it so hooked up where you are mad at your man if he says, I need another wife to help us pay these bills.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, why can't I just go have another man? Because the population is not set up that way. Because nature didn't set it up that way. It's set up where right now there's more women on the planet than men.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they sent our men out to die. They put us in the front line, and then we come back and can't even get a job.
That's true.
In a land that ain't theirs. They're walking around here making rules and building buildings and courthouses and stuff, and walking around in suits and ties and arguing on television about who should run this and how much money should be in this budget. And this ain't even their country.
That's right.
Then they want to every now and then step aside and have a St. Patrick's Day. Instead, I don't see no St. American Day. They sneak away and dip back into what they really are and then come back in and pretend they're American. But we had to Dr. Martin Luther King Day, which would be the first real American Day.
That's
right. And we had to fight for 20 years.
That's right.
Go ahead.
You had mentioned Nakabo
being
a tribal leader.
As the meaning of the name.
Yeah.
Right.
What was her role as a tribal leader?
That's a mother. A mother of all living. That's the catch. When they give you Eve's name, they tell you she was called Eve because she is the mother of all living. You get to the man child and the woman child before we do. You make the person. You shape the leaders. You shape the failures. And that's why that's why Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, the devil hates you. If he can tear you down, we don't have a shot. Because this is not our domain. This is your bone. This is your realm. You control the physical world. You are Mother Nature. Your body's in tune with the moon. We don't menstruate every 29 and a half days as the moon cycles. You do that. You ovulate. You do everything and based on that. Man has no connection to this earth whatsoever except through his mother in the physical form. You know what I'm trying to say? It's a concentrated effort for the devil to kill you and kill your confidence and kill your worth. And in doing that, we automatically will fall apart here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20.
And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living.
That's why. Because she is the mother of all living, male and female. You know what I'm saying? We are under you here, your mama. You follow all the way from mama to grandmama to great-grandmama, your mama. And every man owes that respect to that mother. That has nothing to do with his soul. That has to do with his existence on this planet as a living being. The soul is not even in this realm. The soul is communicating from here to the mental realm. You follow? Go ahead.
When a woman divorced her husband, does that mean that she loses his soul also from him?
Right. She loses that attachment. But don't forget, she's always had the presence of a father.
The spirit.
She's always had the presence of a father's soul through the spirit, through the semen. It was always there. It's just that she doesn't have the connection to God. She has it through the father. I'm not saying women are not spiritual. Women are far more spiritual than most men. I'm not saying women don't get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ain't God. The Holy Ghost comes from God. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm saying man by the Bible was created with a link to God. And woman was created by the Bible with a link to man. Together, it's perfect. Separated, it's confusion. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Can you explain Numbers 36?
Numbers chapter 30, verse 6. Go to
chapter
it.
Chapter 30, verse 6.
Yes. The book of Numbers, chapter 30, verse 6. Go ahead.
Yes. Where it says that a woman
has a soul. Go ahead, read it. Because you're going to find in there the word for a soul in Hebrew is ruach, not nefesh. Nefesh is from the word spirit or self. Nefesh. And the word ruach is for soul or rush, wind. That which God blew. Right? Nefesh. Go ahead, what does it say?
And if she had at all an husband, when she vowed or uttered out of her lips, wherewith she bound her soul?
Now that's even deeper than what I said. That helped my, you just helped my argument. You heard it? You heard it now? It's based on having a husband when she opened her mouth. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
You're the one who found it. Praise God. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Can we please look at Numbers 13?
Numbers chapter 13.
13.
Okay, chapter, the whole chapter?
Verse 13. Okay. Chapter 30, verse 13. Where it says,
right here, go ahead.
Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void.
Thank you.
Is that...
Yo, confirm. Before I tell you, the spirit is moving through the room here. You find it close. I didn't see it yet. You just said the man established it, but the word is going to come up as nefesh again. Go ahead.
I don't understand the part saying all she has to do is cleave to her husband.
No, he cleaves to her. He leaves his family and cleaves to her.
So when a woman is pregnant with a male child, she has a soul at that point also?
No, the child has a soul. The child is within the woman. The child is not the woman.
Right. So when he cleaves to her, how does that give her a soul?
Through him. Through him. This is going to sound weird, right? Not strange, but weird. How many times have you and your husband walked down the street and people ask you, are you a brother or sisters, and y'all don't look nothing alike? Doesn't it happen?
Yes.
Now, why does that happen? Why is a man and woman married, boyfriend and girlfriend sometimes, been together a long time, real close, sharing chemistry, you got it? All right? And people start saying, boy, is that your sister? No, it's my husband. You sure? Because you'll become one flesh right in the front of people. This is a strange thing, but it really happens. Everybody in this listening to this radio program know it happens. Some fools say, oh, it don't. You're a fool. It does happen. People don't be looking alike at all. They don't look nothing alike. Let them break up. 3 weeks later, no one even see them as looking alike. So something mystical and magical, for lack of a better word, does happen when men and women fall in love. And they're sharing this mutual feeling for each other. There's like a transformation into where they become one flesh. And you know what happens? You may see her walking down the street and you say, where's Johnny? You assume that every time you see her, he's supposed to be there. She'd be walking to the supermarket, and I'd say, well, you know, where's Johnny? They said, Johnny's at work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right? It's weird, but it's real. I can't explain that the way you can explain it, but it does happen. They become one flesh. I can say that God said so, and that's why it happens, and that steps above anything anybody says scientific, because we see it with our physical eye.
Does man need a soul? If they didn't have a soul, they would still exist?
Yes, if man didn't have a soul, he would still exist just like every other living thing, but he wouldn't have that divine spark that makes him a mediator, right, from God. It makes him eligible to be a neber. The word is neber in Hebrew. A person who brings a message. He needs that connection. You know why? Because he would get electrocuted by the power of God if there wasn't a direct stream already there, if there wasn't some type of etheric cord connecting him. He'd be like sticking his hand into a billion volts of electricity. But, see that light bulb up there? That light bulb is coming from a reservoir of power that should explode it. But because of generators, it breaks it down in voltage regulators. It brings it down so we can see that light. You follow what I'm saying? And that light, though we're looking at it, that's an incandescent light. It's blinking. But you and I don't see it going. Do some research. That light is actually blinking. But it blinks so fast we can't see it. Or we forget to remember to see it. But you stick your hand in there, you get electrocuted. But no, this might be 110 volts. This might not kill you dead, but it's linked to the same power of 220 volts, which can link all the way to millions of wattage. It's all coming from one source of energy. So God is like that one source of energy, so he needs things channeling down. Angels, prophets, mortals. Mm-hmm. So anytime any preacher says, God talked to my heart, you're lying. God talked directly to your heart, your little Mickey Mouse heart would explode. You know what I'm saying? How many times I point out to you the power of God. God doesn't love. God is love. So to say that, you know, God contacted you with love, he would love you to death. You're not equipped to deal with the power of God's love or light. You know what I'm saying? You talking about the sun burning your eyes out. The sun ain't no light compared to what they call God's light.
And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become one of us to know good.
Become one of us. Go ahead.
To know good and evil. And now let's he put.
Do you notice that it doesn't say good from evil?
Yes.
It says good where? Evil. As opposed to good from evil. Because now man has both attributes. Mm-hmm. When man was in the presence of God, mm-hmm. and before his contact with Nahash, a disagreeable, a Ra being, he only knew good from evil. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But now the evil is in man. Because he said, now the man has become like one of us. Mm-hmm. To know good and evil. So us must consist of good and evil. Seraphims and cherubims or cherubs. Evil cherubs and good seraph. And that man has both of them in him now. He makes decisions. That's what I'm going to talk about. He makes decisions on his own. All before that, man ain't making no decisions. But let's go here. Let's come back there. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Ready? And let's look at verse 4. Right? And what does it say?
And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock,
mm-hmm.
and of the fat thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord had respect unto Abel and mm-hmm. to his offering.
Go ahead.
And unto Cain.
But.
Excuse me.
But unto
Cain
mm-hmm.
and to his offering,
mm-hmm.
he had not respect.
God did not respect Cain and his offering, but God did respect Abel and his offering. Mm-hmm. With me? Clear enough?
Yes.
Read on.
And Cain was very wroth.
He was mad. Is that right?
Yes.
Angry. Mm-hmm. And what happened?
And his countenance fell.
And his countenance fell. He dropped from grace. You know what I'm saying? His consonance was what? God. His whole being, his existence, his essence. He has just dropped from God. He's no longer in God's grace. And watch what happens now. He's going to start making his own decisions. Watch this. Before that, people wasn't making decisions. Watch this. Go ahead.
And if thou doest...
No, you jumped too far. Consonants drop.
Oh, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth?
Why are you mad? God is asking him about an attribute. Anger. Why are you angry? God's supposed to know why he's angry.
That's right.
He's a new being. He has his own free will. If he's making decisions on his own now. He's no longer directly linked to God. Man did fall from grace. Why are you angry? God wants to know. And what?
Why is thy countenance?
Why has thy countenance fallen? Why you look sitting there like you don't get people get mad, sit there and soak and puff out their face, sitting there more mad. Like, what's wrong? What's wrong? You know what I'm saying? You have to inquire because what? You don't know.
That's right.
All you're seeing is what's on their face. Okay, watch that. Go ahead.
And if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?
If you do the right thing, if you get up right now and straighten this mess out, won't it be accepted, Cain? Mm-hmm. All you gotta do is get up and do it right. That's what it says, right? Go ahead. What happens after that?
And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door.
What did God just give him? Choice, free will, self-determination. This is where our world goes bad. We were better when we was in the hands of God, and he made all the decisions for us. Now we got a problem. And watch how good we are at making decisions the first time we get it. Go ahead.
And unto thee shall be his desire.
Start again, because you're confusing.
And if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door.
Stop. Sin lieth at the door. So now, the devil has left the God. Because the devil is sin, is he not?
Yes.
He's out the garden now. He's no longer in this. Because now you can make a decision to do this or go out the door. You can stay here in the tabernacle of God, the Garden of Eden, and do the right thing, or you can penetrate the door. And guess what happens when you get outside? You walk through the door naive, but when you get out there, you become the devil. You start giving the devil ideas on what to do. And watch how that happens. You start making your own parties. When you're in here, you see, you're looking at people on TV and you want to go to parties. When you get out there, you become the devil that sets up the party and drags innocent souls in. You're going to read that right there in the Bible. Go ahead, read it.
And unto thee shall be his desire.
And but what? But what?
And thou shalt rule over him.
Read that. What verse is that again?
It's verse 7.
7, read it again.
Okay, and if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?
If you do good, be straightened up, stop acting a fool, everything will be all right. You understand? But.
And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door.
The devil's waiting for you, right out there. You understand? Go ahead.
And unto thee shall be his desire.
Unto you shall be his desire. He wants you. But once he embraces you and y'all become one flesh, you inherit his soul. And then you become the devil. Watch what it says next. The next very line.
And thou shalt rule over him.
You shall rule over the devil, over sin. You become the person that says, let's go get high. You start off a good girl in church. You follow that? And you let your conscience drop because things wasn't going your way because you wasn't doing your best. Like a job. Let's look at your job. What does the boss ask of you? He says, I am the boss. This is my establishment. You are my employee. And this is what I want you to do. Now, if you do exactly what he asks you to do, we have any problems?
No.
When do you have problems? When you come in late. When you're laughing and playing on the job. When you're using the equipment in the job other than what it's supposed to be used for. And then he got to come to you and say, listen, I'm going to give you a warning. If you do right, now your lips is poked out now because he's already embarrassed you in front of everybody. Mrs. Jones, why you got to be a fool? Why you got to come in late? Blah, 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 blah. Now you're like, I'm a grown old woman. I mean, this was going on.
Right.
He said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to fire you this time. You know what happened?
Yeah.
All I'm going to tell you to do is do the right, be on work on time, and do what I want you to do. That's all. Now, if you have your own mind, you don't belong here. If you can do it, then why are you in here with me? If you're your own employer, then don't be sitting in my office. But if you came here to get employed by me in this job, and this is my job, I'm the boss, I tell you what to do. It's a very simple process. And if you can't do what I want you to do, get out. That's what it comes down to. This is what's going on right here. Read it again. It ain't my, this ain't me. People think every time somebody leaves this community here, it's my fault. All I'm saying is, this is what I want you to do. Can you do it? No. Get out. Or leave. Walk out. But when you walk out there, he's waiting. And you might go out there thinking that you got control of it. I know I'm not going to fall for that. I'm not going to be a part of slander. I'm not going to get into this here. That's what you think. But when you walk out there, he's crouching down. It says it in the Bible, he's crouching down, watching you. You know why he's crouching down? You don't know, do you? Because his legs was taken. His leg was taken. I already told you what happened in Genesis chapter 3 to the devil on thy belly.
That's right.
He got his leg taken. The snake is down. It's a confirmation that this is that same old what? Beguiling serpent, who's most subtle beast of the field. He knows how to work this world. That's his thing. When he catches you out there, he embraces you. Come on, come join us. Join the world. You don't have to be a righteous Christian, a born again Christian. You don't have to be a Nawabian or a Muslim or anything that's or anybody that says let's obey God. Come on and join us and be a hoochie and a nigger. Tighten up your clothes and put on some eyeliner and some extensions and some wigs and some perms and go out there and hoe. Have a good time. Go have some fun. That's what it's saying. But he also, what God did, is he first gave Cain a choice. He said to him, but he talked like a father. If you do the right thing, everything will be fine. But if you don't do the right thing, sin is waiting for you, crushed at the door. When you go out there, go and embrace him, and desire to be under him. But you will rule over him. You will become the devil. It sets up all the devils against people, against God's people. Just like it said in Revelations. Remember about Revelation? We got the end of Revelation before? We were talking about what happened. The devil said the devil was going to go out. But he couldn't no longer get the woman. He put the water out in Revelation 12. He said, I'm going after her seed. And the devil is going after our seed every day. Turn our seed against us. And they fall for it.
And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnants of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
All right, that's the Revelation one. Now let's get back to Genesis chapter 4 and see one more time what we up against.
And if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And unto thee shall be his desire, now and thou shalt rule over him.
And now, after that message, now let's go to verse 8 and let's see what man as Cain did.
And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother,
and
slew him.
Killed him anyway.
Mm. Mm.
After God gave him a choice, man now has free will.
Mm.
He chose to talk to him first, and then still kill him.
Mm.
You know what I mean? No, I'm saying that because it happens.
Mm-hmm.
People leave me, as they're leaving the church, they write me a letter. I'm not really leaving because of this. You know, I really love the doctrine, the prayers, and all that kind of stuff. Here's a letter as I walked out to walk in the hands of the devil.
Mm.
Or they sit down, y'all sit in the office, y'all go for an hour conversation. And why you want to? They will talk to you first, have a dialogue, but they already plan to do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't bother talking to people no more. I just like, yeah, okay, see, well, people, they don't even give them a chance. I don't give them a chance. I already know by this scripture here that they already got their mind made up. That Cain was going to kill Abel anyway. Because that's what he wanted to do because he was jealous. And his conscience dropping. He was mad. And he was angry because things would go his way. And all they did was, just, we'll go do another offering. No. I ain't doing nothing. I'll do what I feel like doing. Read on. 9.
And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I know not.
He lied to God. Mm-hmm. That's what free will and self-determination does to you. Gives you the ability to just lie. Know right from wrong and choose wrong and even say the wrong thing. He lied to God. He don't know where. I don't know where he's at. What did he ask?
Am I my brother's keeper?
Yes, you're your brother's keeper, fool. Otherwise, God wouldn't ask you where was he. As you go down to this quote, it gets more ridiculous. It gets where Cain gets scared because now he's going to get put out of the garden. What does he say? I don't want to go out there because whoever finds me is going to kill me. So the devil or sin was standing at the door. Who is going to take your life? The devil. And they'll kill you. If you kill somebody, they'll say it's wrong and kill you. And don't see them killing you as wrong. That's how well the devil got his system set up. And make us all look crazy for wanting to obey the word of God over his word. So then Wabi has become some fanatical crazy cult. Because we say, no, we chose God's words over yours. Regardless of what you want to do to us. We don't care what they were doing in Eden, then jumping up and down and calling us all kind of names. We don't care. We were going, oh, they're not Christians. We don't care about the word Christian. Having a name Christian don't make you no Christian. Having a spirit makes you a Christian. We don't care what y'all say. Don't mean nothing to us because we see the power of God moving on our behalf. Mm-hmm. You can hurt our bodies, but you can't hurt our souls and our spirits.
Amen.
You can't break us.
Amen.
We're committed to what we're about. We done burnt our bridges when we crossed the lake. We ain't going back. We only going in one day. And if you're in our way, we're going to go right through you.
Right.
Hello? Mm-hmm. Anything else? Yes?
Getting back to the Genesis 3:22.
Mm-hmm.
It said, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us.
Mm-hmm.
If man was created in image and likeness of God in Genesis chapter 1, was he not already like God?
That's, yeah, but one of us. Now he has both natures.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it says, read the next point. To know.
To know good and evil.
He only knew good. Now he knows by way of the serpent, he knows what? Good and evil. He now has willpower. He has a will to do good or to do evil. Choice. Which is the biggest problem you all have. If there was no choice, like the angels, and we all was obedient to God, wouldn't it be a beautiful place?
Yes.
And you know that most of the time before you do the wrong thing, that your little angel inside warns you, and you still choose to do the wrong thing, you get warnings, and you still know you're doing the wrong thing. But some other person comes along and says, I don't know. Some little whispering, slinking devil comes along and puts more thoughts. When just about when you're a little depressed, I don't know, they put a burden on. Next thing you know, you're going, okay, I'll listen to you.
That's right.
Yes?
Why does the devil want your soul?
Because your soul is linked to God. He can't get back to God because it says, get ye all of ye down from here. He was cast out of heaven. It wasn't saying in Revelation 12. There was found no place at all for him. No, he wants to get back into heaven because it says in Isaiah that he wants to rule over all the angels and even take God's throne. A cherub who wants to ride the throne. Oh, Lucifer himself. He cannot get through it. He's been cut off. He's been cast here. And he cannot get to God's throne to destroy God unless he gets to you. And that's why he wants to kill Christ so bad. Because Christ being the Son of God, he has a direct link to God. When you see me, you see the Father. By killing Christ, he's killing a portion of God. He'll make God's countenance drop, he believes. And God angry, he believes. And he will succeed it. He would have succeeded in making a good God an angry being. You follow? That's why he wants your soul. He wants to control your emotions. And he does. Through movies, cinemas, through music, and through laws. He tells me and you what we are supposed to do, what we're supposed to wear. If you want to walk down the street naked tomorrow, what would happen? Why? 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 Who decided that? Because that's not what happened. Shame came in the garden. Because God asked him, who told you were naked? So God preferred naked. Ain't that what it says in Genesis? Who told you were naked? Did you do what I told you not to do? So didn't God prefer nudity? Yes. So now why is it illegal for me to get nude? And he becomes lewd. Start making rhymes to it. Yes. You see the game?
Yeah.
Anything to keep you from obeying God's law. Because they can't, they know. First of all, they accept polygamy and polygamy. Mm-hmm. Within 10 years, we would outpopulate everybody on the planet. Mm-hmm. You understand that? Yes. Orientals and we and Latinos, there would be no European. We would outpopulate the people of color, would outpopulate them just like that. Mm-hmm. And they know that. So that means suppress it. Keep them down and then keep them on the birth control and then put them on welfare and tell the women how many kids they can have. Keep them folks from having children. You understand? Because they might be a genius in that gene. Might be a Tiger Woods up in there. You understand? They're starting to pop up now. Now that we can read and write, them things are starting to pop up in our genes. It wasn't back there when we were mudbow and woolly and going, yo, sir, we's a master. Now we got people thinking. They don't like a Malachi. Malachi can read and write and speak 13 languages, 19 unclear. And they know that. And they're afraid, but they know I'm going to take the Bible apart. I'm their Bible, Tiger Woods. And just like they dog Tiger Woods for what he does, they're going to dog me for what I do. Ain't nobody going to come near me and explain this Bible. You understand? In the original language. They know what I am. So they know, oh, you know, we got this, that, and this. They took over golf. They take over track. They're taking over swimming. Now they got a couple of, they got, like Cedric said, they got a couple of them on the hockey court. They skating without sticks. They got another motor. Just cruising along like, you know, I wish somebody would hit me with something. They know we'll take over. And that's their thing. They saw us coming to Putnam County, this little old town. They said, they're going to take over. And we said, we wasn't interested in taking over. We came over here to be left alone. Y'all invaded our privacy. You stuck your hand in a hornet's nest.
That's right.
And it goes on regardless of what you do to Malachi. There's already too many of us and we got your number. And it's just a matter of time. It's all about, because we live by God's law. And vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
That's right.
And an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, buddy.
That's right.
What else?
I want to
know. She let it happen.
Okay. Can you regain your soul once the devil takes it?
Oh, well, let's see if that's true. Anybody go to Psalms 23? Ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He
restoreth my soul.
He
restoreth my soul.
He
restoreth my soul.
And does what after that?
Leadeth
me to the path of
righteousness
for
his name's sake.
See, as long as we get on the path of righteousness for God's name's sake and not our own. Not our own self will, then he will restore your soul. And then go on, we might as well go on and finish it. Go ahead, for his name's sake, go ahead.
Yea, though
I walk
through the valley of the shadow of death.
I what, Nuwapians?
Fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Huh?
Thy rod and thy staff.
We take the punishment when it's due, but the guidance to get us through.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
I want that said as one verse. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm still doing good.
Amen.
We're still progressing.
That's
God
right,
is still making us grow.
That's
we're
right,
still prosperous.
Right.
While the enemies are standing there looking at us, he's still preparing a table of success for the walking. Step
right.
Back.
Preach.
Go ahead. Thou anointest my head. You declared me a Messiah. You sent me out to save. I put the word anointed as Messa in there to go out and save people. You gave me your holy oil. Go ahead.
My cup runneth over. runneth over.
And I got abundance of it. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. Surely,
goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I will what?
Dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
In God's house, not in man's house. Man's house can't stand. When men stop dwelling in the house of men and in the laws of men, and we get back into the laws of God and in the house of God, then we'll get our soul back. Then we are unstoppable. That's what y'all said it for me. Amen.